Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. It's in the New Testament. Verse 36. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many know that in every generation, God hits different? And I say God hits different. When I looked up that phrase, hits different, it's a very common phrase sometimes people, young people use. And it talks about a powerful effect or influence. So when I say when God hits different in your generation, I want to share with you this morning how God influences or how God can affect your life. And I believe that even in the generation that we live right now, when you have an encounter with the Lord or there's influence from God in your life will never be the same. So that's the title of my message this morning. I want to share with you four things when God hits different in your generation. And in this verse 36, look what it says. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says, this is not a reference to David. For after David had done the will of God. Notice what he says. For after David had done the will of God in his own generation. He died and was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. How many know that all of us here, one day, that's where we're going? But the difference is that we have eternal life. But notice that the scripture says, for after David had done the will of God. So David, in his generation, he did the will of God in his generation. How many know, or do you believe, that we can do the will of God in our generation? And you got to believe that God wants to use you. God wants to bless your life. God wants you to influence others, to affect others, and you're the chosen one. When you look at the life of David, there's no doubt that he lived his life with a very clear sense of his calling. And David knew that he was chosen by God. And when you look at his life story, how David grew up with his family, his brothers, and the Bible tells us that David, he worked in the fields. And he would tend the sheep. And David was faithful in the little. You know, that's something very important, church, that when we learn to be faithful in the little things. And David did that with the sheep. And when you look at the Bible, David went from the fields to the throne because he became the king of Israel. And what I like about David, that David, he did not let his past. Did you hear me? He did not let his past or his youth or the opinions of other people. Or David wasn't molded into the culture that he lived in. Because David knew God. And see, there's something powerful when God impacts your life. When he touches your life and he begins to change you. You will find out very quickly that your past does not determine your future. And you will find out that God has very good plans for your life. And David knew, he knew that he was chosen by God. Very interesting. All of us that are here this morning, you got to know your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ. And that you have a calling in your life. And not only a calling, but you have gifts or spiritual gifts. And that is something that Christ gives to the church. So all of us here this morning, we at least have one gift. Amen? But you got to find out what gift is that. And you have to put that gift to work. Amen? You got to put it to work. That gift that Christ has given you. You have to put it to work. Amen? And you need to understand that in God's kingdom, you are chosen by him. And as I said earlier, there's a plan for your life. Amen? How many know that we're not just here random? You know, we're not just here random. We don't, like people, some people believe that we come from the animal, the apes, or and all that stuff. No, God created you. God created you. God made you. Amen. So David, I love this scripture that we just read because it says David had done the will of God. And I want to tell you this morning, church, get on board with God and do his will. And David was a mighty man of God. And David, let's remember, he had his faults. Amen? David had his faults. But the Bible also says that David had a heart after God's heart. And he was a king. And David went through a lot of battles, the Bible says. And when you read in this chapter, verse 13, look at verse 21, 22. My first point is that serve God in your generation. Look what the Bible says in verse 21. He says, because see, this is God right here, church. This is God. At first, you see in the Old Testament how God gave them judges to rule until the time of Samuel the prophet. But verse 21 says, then the people, see, it was the people that they wanted, they begged for a king. So what did God say? Okay, you guys want a king? Remember we preach on that on Samuel? you know, they were begging and crying. We want a king because we want a king like the rest of the world. But that wasn't God's plan in the beginning. But the Bible says, and God gave them Saul. Before David, God gave them Saul. He was a king. And it says, a man of the tribe of Benjamin who reigned for 40 years. But look what he says in verse 22. Who did it? It says, but God removed Saul. How many know that it's dangerous when God removes you? How many know it's scary? Amen? And see, we read that David, what? David served God in what? In his generation. David served God in his generation. And I want to encourage you, church, that you ask yourself, what am I doing with my life? What is the purpose of my life? What am I doing? Do I have direction? Well, but first of all, let's start. Do you have God in your life? Because see, God makes a difference. And David, he served his generation. He affected, he influenced his people. But notice that the Bible says that God, this is God, he removed Saul. See, Saul did not serve his generation. He started off good, but it did not end well. And see, what I want to encourage you is that we finish well. And he says, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David. How many want to be replaced? Amen. Tell your neighbor, not me. You know that God can do it right away. And the only reason he did it was because Saul, in other words, he walked away from God. Saul, he started going another direction. He started consulting other people, evil stuff, instead of the Almighty God. But God removed Saul and replaced him with David. But look what he says about David. A man about whom God said. God said it. See, I don't know about you, church, but I want God to say something good about me. He says, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse. This is what I like about God, that he gets into detail. He says, a man about whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man. Look what he says. A man after my own heart. And this is what I like, church. He says, see, a man after my own heart. And then he says, he will do everything I want him to do. So let me ask you this morning. How willing are you to do everything that God tells you? Are you willing to do? Do you want to be used by God? Do you want to change? Do you want to be different? Especially us who have children. We have a family that they're watching you. See, we influence our children. We influence our home. Well, so my question is, are you willing to do everything that God is telling you? Will you listen? Will you obey you? Will you say, Lord, here I am? And that's what David did. David, even though he wasn't perfect, he had his failures, but he didn't quit. He didn't stop. He kept going. He would trip and he would get up. Serve God, church. Be the one to say, you know what? I'm going to serve God in my generation. I'm going to serve God in my generation. I'm going to serve God in my generation. Doesn't matter what the culture is doing. Doesn't matter the influences, what other people are doing. I have decided to follow Jesus. There was a time where the enemies of Israel, they were going at it with the Philistines. And there was a man, a giant named Goliath. You've heard of David and Goliath. And Israel was afraid. We were saying, man, there's a big dude out there, man. 12-footer, 6 toes, 6 fingers in his hands. But young David had the guts. He says, I'll take him on. You guys are afraid. I could deal with them. And you know why? Because he served God. He knew that God was with them. And see, church, it makes a difference when you serve God. There's no giant in this world that can defeat God's children. And maybe you're facing a giant right now. It could be different giants. I don't know what your giant is. And you might be facing one right now. And maybe you're afraid. And maybe you're saying, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it with my family? How am I going to do it with my finances? How am I going to do this or whatever? You know, there's a giant. But David said, I'll take on him. But before he took, he laid him out. That's my version, just to. There was a time where Saul, he told David, look, David, this guy's dangerous. Goliath, he's a big guy. He goes, why don't you try and wear my armor? And the Bible says that David, he says, okay, I'll try it out. So they put his armor, Saul's armor, on him. And at first he was okay with it, but then he took a few steps and he says, nah, this is not for me. This is not for me. The Bible says that he said, I can't go in these. He protested to Saul. He says, I'm not used to them. So what did David do? David, the Bible says that David took off the armor. Now you got to know that David, this whole time, his faith is in God. But see, you got to be you serving God. See, you got to be you, but it's important that you serve God. It's different when you want to be you, but God's not in the picture. But it makes a difference when it's you, but God's in the picture. And see, be careful, people, young people, be careful with the influence of the people, your friends. Because they're going to try to put an armor on you. Come on. Come on, man. Just put this on. Be like me. You know, just smoke this. Be like me. It's getting too quiet now. No. But right away you got to say, no. I don't need this. I don't need this armor. I'm me. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to take this giant, but I'm following God. And it's dangerous. I said it's dangerous when people try to influence or they tell you, oh, you need this or you have to do this. So that what? So that you can fit in. And it's real easy if we're not careful. See, David, he said, okay, put it on. He put it on, took a few steps, and he says, nah, this is not for me. I was going to say a story back in the day, but nah. How many times in your life, adults, young people, that you've said, you know what? Nah, this is not for me. It's not for me. It seems cool. It seems, you know, okay, you know, in armor. But he said, no, this is not me. So the Bible says, what did he do? He put the armor away, and in front of him, he went to the river, and the Bible says he got five stones, five little rocks, smooth rocks. And when you read the Bible says that he used one of them, five smooth rocks, to what? To kill Goliath, the giant. It wasn't the rock. God used the rock. It was God. But see, you got to be you. This generation, you got to be you. And you should never be ashamed of God. Amen. I said you should never be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because that's God. God is a mighty God. My second point is Moses. Oh, Moses got hit by God. He was affected by God. He was influenced by God. If you could put Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 5 and 6. I'm going to give you the three P's. It's not Peter Pan, so. Look at Moses. I don't know if you're noticing, David wasn't perfect. By this time, Moses... This is another man right here. He had just murdered an Egyptian. See, your past doesn't determine your future. We serve a God that forgives, a God who restores, a God of second chances. And Moses, he's out in the desert and he sees this bush that's burning and it keeps going and going. It doesn't go away. But look what the Bible says. It caught his attention. So Moses is getting closer to the middle of the bush. Because God called him and he says, Moses, Moses. See, when God calls you by your name two times or more, he wants your attention. There's some of you here that God's been calling you over 500 times and you're not paying attention yet. Tell your neighbor, it's time to pay attention. Amen. So he tells him, Moses, Moses. And Moses, he says, here I am. And look at verse 5. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. The first P is the picture. Look at the picture. The picture is the God that we serve. And he tells them, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. And then verse 6 says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. See, that's a picture of God, the powerful almighty God that we serve. And Moses, he's there and God is speaking to him. And he tells him, Moses, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. You know that there's something about when you're in the presence of God, when God is present. Oh, it changes everything. And God told him, take off your sandals. See, this morning, church, God, he's been talking to you. He's been dealing with you. Specifically to you. He's been talking to you. And he's been telling you, take off your sandals. You know what you need to take off. You've been stubborn. And God is telling you, take off the sandals. Take them off. Let the Holy Spirit deal with. He's telling you, take this off from your life. Because if I'm going to use you, if I'm going to work with you, I'm the only one that can make you take off those things from your life. Because how many know that? It's not the preacher. It's not the leader. It's not your daddy. It's not your mom. Nobody can make you to. Only God can make you, can change you. Only God will speak to you and tell you, look, son and daughter, remove that from your life. That's why when you see all these testimonies, it's God that changed us. It's not religion. I said it's not religion. It's not the people. It's not the building. It's not the preacher. No, only God. It's the encounter you have with God when God touches your life. And God told Moses, take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. Then he says, I'm the God of your father. Like tell him, you know who I am? I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses, when he heard this, the Bible says that he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And Moses did exactly what God told him. So the first P is the picture of who God is. Number two is the purpose, the why. And it's right there in verse 7, it says, then the Lord told him. The Lord told him, spoke to him. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. He says, I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. He says, yes, I am aware of their suffering. Are you hearing what God is saying? God told them, take off your sandals. Hey, I'm right here. And he says, this is the reason why I'm telling you to take off your sandals. Because I want to show you that there's a need out there. And I'm going to use you. And did you know? Just like God said, the Bible says, he heard their cries. Do you know that you have people around you that they're crying? They're suffering? That you know that you have friends? You have guy friends, girlfriends that are suffering? They're crying out. They don't know what to do. They think that this is life. That's, you know, I only live here on earth and that's it. They don't have no purpose. Many of you have friends, you know, people that are battling depression, suicide thoughts, alcohol problems, immorality. And many times they think it's normal, that that's just life. But see, God has heard their crying. And that's why God is speaking to you. Because God wants to impact your life so that you can impact them. Now, in your generation. He says, I heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. He says, I'm aware that they're suffering. See, God knows. But he says, I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. See, God knew of their suffering. God knows what they're going through. God knows that they're slaves to their oppressors. But at the same time, God says this. Look what God says. He says, but I also have a spacious land for them. I have a purpose for them. I have a good life for them. They don't have to live that way. I have something better for them. I have a land for them, a land where the Bible says that it's flowing with what? Milk and honey. See, many of us, we're experiencing that milk and honey. But not everybody is experiencing it. And he says, verse 9, look, the cry of the people of Israel. See, the people of Israel, those who were slaves and struggling and suffering, they were crying out. He says, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. And he tells them, and this is the third P, the plan. So I talked to you about the picture, the purpose, now the plan. How is it going to happen? See, you might be asking, okay, if that's me, if God chose me, if God wants to use me, well, give me. I need a plan. I need a blueprint. How am I going to do it? And that's what we find out right here. Look what he says in verse 10. Number one, you got to go for it. Because he tells them, now go. He says, for I am sending you. Look what he says. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you to the main dude. He says, and you must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. Then Moses protested to God in verse 11. He says, God, who am I? Have you been there? When you say, why? Who am I, Lord? I don't got the qualifications. I'm not an orator. I'm not a great speaker. What am I going to say? And he says, who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And how many know that God always has answers? Let me tell you something. Anytime you're doubting and you're trying to, you're battling and saying, well, why me? Or how am I going to do it? Let me tell you something, church. Learn this. God always has answers for you. God has answers for you. God has answers. Not only answers, he has all the answers. And you might be saying, well, who am I? Well, God wants to use you. And he tells them, look what he tells them. I'll be with you. Hallelujah. See, that's part of the plan. See, all you right now, you got to know whatever you're going to do, God is with you. If you're going to the university, God is with you. At your workplace, you got to know that God is with you. In your struggles, in your battles, you got to know that God is with you. Church, but you got to know it and believe it, that God is with you. Whatever you're facing right now, you got to believe that God is with you. And he says, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. You got to know that. Who does the sending? It's not UPS. It's not FedEx. It's God. It's God. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Thirdly, you got to let God do his work. Real quick, Psalm 78, real quick. I'm going to give you this point and one more. We're done. Psalm 78. Hallelujah. Do you have it? In Psalm 78, let's go to verse 4. Look what he says. We will not hide these truth from our children. There's nothing more powerful, church. Listen. To tell our children the truth about God. And see, some of you are saying, well, I don't got children, so I'm cool. I'm good right now. Well, one day you are. Do it God's way and everything's going to be good. And we're going to have to teach them about God. But notice what he says. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonder. See, that's the thing, church. We need to let our children, our family, that we serve a mighty God, a powerful God, and not be embarrassed about it. That we serve a powerful God. That whenever they're facing any battles in their life, us parents can tell our children, you know what? Those are things that happen, but you got to know this. God's going to get you through it. You're not alone. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. God saved me. God delivered me. God healed me. And that's what we got to tell our children. And let them know. We serve a mighty God. And it says in verse 5. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Verse 6. So the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, see? And they in turn will teach their own children. I don't know if you're seeing the picture, church. If I teach my children about God, that God is a mighty God, that God forgives sins, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, and that he gives you eternal life, I'm believing God that my children are going to teach their children about God, and they will teach their children about God. But see, if we don't teach them, if we don't influence them now, you know what's going to happen? They're going to follow the culture of the world. And what's that? Oh, there's no God. God doesn't exist. You could live your life however you want. No, that's not what the Bible says, the word of God. But it gets better. And it says, verse 7, so each generation should set its hope anew on God. Not forgetting his glorious miracle and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors. You know who were their ancestors? The Bible says, it says right there in verse 8, they were stubborn, rebellious, unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. That's an ugly picture. I mean, who wants to be called stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, and refusing to give their hearts to God? That's why it's important. Hear me. Listen to me, young people. Who's affecting your life right now? Who's influencing your life, your mind? Someone is influencing you. Do you know that? Somebody's putting seeds in you. They could be positive or negative. And the Bible says, you don't have to put it, but I'll read it to you. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 31, this is what the Bible says. The people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. So in other words, as Joshua was present, the people served God. Did you get that? You know, as long as Joshua was around, the people served the Lord, served God. That's why, who's influencing you? And it says, throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and the elders who outlived them, who had personally experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. Now, right there in Psalm 78, verse 7. Oh, go with me real quick, and I'm going to finish ready. Joshua 24. Hallelujah. Right there, verse 31. Hallelujah. I just want to read you this real quick. The people of Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him. Those who had personally, look what he says, experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. All that had personally experienced all that the Lord had done for Israel. And then there's another passage that says, where everything changed because there was no one. There was not another Joshua. Even in the book of Judges, it says that everyone did what was right before their eyes. Because there was, I'm going to put it simple, there wasn't a leader, there wasn't a model, there wasn't a shepherd, there was nobody where they could learn from. So everybody was just going crazy and they were doing their own thing, what they thought was right. But see, that's why it's important to have someone. It could be a shepherd, it can be a mentor. Someone, see, let me tell you. Well, how can I say it? Who's pouring into your life right now? Who's pouring into your life? Ask yourself, well, who's pouring into my life? Who are you always listening to? Then now, look at your life. Who's pouring into you? Very important. Joshua. Everybody was serving God because Joshua was there. And you got to have someone, church, you got to have someone that's going to encourage you, someone that's going to inspire you, and someone that's going to give you direction of the God whom we serve. That what God started in your life, God is going to finish it. And that in life, yes, you will make errors. You will fall, you will trip, you will crash. But that doesn't mean it's over. It's just the beginning. I said it's just the beginning. Because his mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. And God is working in your life. I said God is working in your life. And you got to know that when it gets hard, God is right there. But he's working in your life. He's working in my life. And I finish here. Serve God in your generation right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please stand, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.